Good afternoon and welcome to Sundays at the Modern. I'm Leslie Merle, Assistant Curator of Education, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to this program. In case you're unfamiliar, Sundays with the Modern is an ongoing series of tours by artists, art historians, architects, and other scholars about works on view here at the Modern. And today it's my great pleasure to introduce artist Eric Parker, the featured artist of the first show in the Focus series this year. He was born in Stuttgart, Germany, and grew up in San Antonio. He's now living and working in New York City. He earned his BFA from the University of Texas at Austin and his MFA from SUNY at Purchase. In 1999, he won the Rima Hortman Foundation grant and has had solo shows in galleries around the world, including Los Angeles, New York, Geneva, Amsterdam, Tokyo, and Milan. His group exhibitions include Greater New York at PS1 Contemporary Art Center in New York, One Planet Under a Groove that was organized by the Bronx Museum and then traveled to the Andy Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh, the Walker Art Center in Minneapolis, and the Museum of Contemporary Art in LA. And just to name one more out of a long list, he was recently included in Psychedelic, Optical and Visionary Art since the 1960s at the San Antonio Museum of Art in Texas. So it's my pleasure to introduce artist Eric Parker.
Hi. Thanks. All right. So I think the best way of starting, if you guys have any questions, just shoot them out as I talk. So I really haven't... There's no way of kind of planning this, so since we're all standing right here, I'll talk about this painting, and I'll talk a little bit about how I guess, start one, and then how it kind of unravels from there. And it's not always the same way. But for this painting, I came up with the idea first of the phrase, half-made man. The phrase came, I kept hearing it in a song that I was listening to, and well, it turns out that wasn't, when I looked up the lyrics of the song, it wasn't even in the song, but the idea struck me to make a painting about a half-made man, and to use that phrase to talk about how it would be, what would it be like to talk about painting sculpture, because I've never really made sculpture, but I'm fascinated by it, but I try to just stick to painting for some reason, because I don't want paintings that look, or sculptures that look like my paintings in a weird way. So the idea started was how to make a painting about sculpture. And so that's how I kind of started this one. And I drew a loose drawing, you know, and first painted the whole background first, making a kind of proscenium of this white area here, knowing that I wanted to put the figure in it, and then added the figure under pure kind of improvisation. And the funny thing is about this is like all the red, when it goes on top of the blue, has to have many coats. So why it looks kind of spontaneous. The form was created spontaneously, but in order to make it really come, to make it be vibrant, it has to slow down and be applied many, many times. So if it looks like it was done quickly, it took about, you know, 2 months to make just straight every day with actually two guys helping me on it, where I would come in the morning and, you know, lay the first coat, and it would take, just to get this red, like, you know, 8 different coats, staying within that same form over and over again throughout this whole thing, even down here. So lots of paint on this one. Pardon? It's all acrylic, except for this lettering down here is sign painter's enamel, which is an oil-based enamel. And maybe there's some other bits of enamel. This painting was done in 2007, and I think it's another interesting thing about it is there's this text, there's this writing element. It's kind of, I used to do a lot of work like that prior to this. There'd be whole passages just written pieces of information that I found interesting, a lot like the way Google works, but I was doing that before, and slowly it kind of, that went away, and this kind of figuration started to appear. I'm not sure why, but I think that after many years of writing words and lists and charts and incorporating them into paintings, a lot of this mark making is the same kind of thing almost. You know, it's a little slowed down and less, but this is the last painting where that kind of stuff appears, this writing element. And I'm not even sure what it's about. It's probably autobiographical. I believe, I was thinking about this, that all of this, you know, I think I'm a complete narcissist and all of this is somehow about me. I don't really know what, you know, but I think it is. And so we're just going to talk about this room? Is that it?
No, we'll talk about everything.
Okay. Because if you could see, I don't know if you guys saw the edges. A lot of people ask questions about that. So the deal with that is, I'm probably going to go all over the place. So if it's not making sense, just ask questions. Why making these? You know, there's a kind of controlled, you know, thinking and just physically being controlled to make the best kind of line or shape or form that you can. So on the sides, I often like to loosen up a bit or just write phrases and kind of be, you know, just whatever comes to mind, dirty words or marginal kind of things that I that kind of talk about the margins maybe of our society, being that this is the margin of the artwork, you know, if that makes any sense, you know. That it seemed okay to keep marginal ideas marginalized on this object. And I thought it also kind of objectifies or pushes the idea that these are objects. You know, I like them to be objects or I think of them kind of as objects. So some painters, I don't know how they feel about their paintings being really objects. I don't know. I'll talk a little bit about this one. It's called Say What from 2007. This one kind of focused more, you know, obviously on the idea of portraiture. And on this particular one, I came, you know, the idea of Say What seemed like it would be pretty cool to have, you know, in a head painting. And with this work and some of the other, these back here, at that time, I was looking a lot at Francis Bacon, late period Picasso, and how they dealt with the figure and portraiture. And it seemed to me that they kind of, their paintings dealt with the kind of gnarlier, kind of edgier part of the human condition. And I wanted to kind of represent that now and see where I could push that. I know it's a big kind of bold statement to say if you wanted to push beyond Bacon or late period Picasso. But those two artists, when I look at their work, I always think it must be, you know, like it's really fresh today. Like it seems really edgy today, you know. And I hope that that's how myself will look, you know, when I'm gone or whatever, if it's even looked at. But so I had that in mind. And also kind of this, you know, listening to conspiracy theory and some of their, you know, Orwellian thoughts, that kind of post-industrial figure, thinking about that, thinking about animation and how now we, you know, look at, you know, these Disney flicks, these crazy animated flicks, or movies, I mean. And so thinking about all that, trying to deal with, you know, painting the figure, thinking about underground comics, thinking about outsider art, prison art, hip-hop music, graffiti, all of those things. And where do I fit in? How can I make something jarring and exciting? And so that's how I came up with this this whole series. Starting with the background, painting it black, adding the figure on top of it, loosely drawn, and just working freestyle or kind of from my own imagination slowly to build up, you know, a coherent painting, I think. Working from the background, adding these bands, and then the chance part or the kind of edgy part is like painting over this delicate background or this kind of, you know, labor-intensive background to put the figure on, not knowing exactly how it's going to look. Right. So it originally started off with this black, which is a black gesso. And then, you know, just draw in some of these shapes or forms and to create motion or a warbling kind of sensation, you know, and make it come alive. And then thinking of painting this part as the dessert, you know, if it was a meal, this would be the fun part. The eyes being like whipped cream, like the always doing the eyes is like the really, kind of save those for the last bit. And I also enjoy like saving this, like painting words and phrases. It's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy that. I don't know why, you know. I think when you're choosing a phrase, you know, it's. I like to count out, like when I have lists of ideas of what kind of words or phrases, you know, how many letters, you know, trying to find an even lettered phrase like six words, it's tough. Painting T's. A's are fun. Now I can talk about this one. This painting here. Yeah.
How do you choose your color palette? Is it always the same, or is it just what happens in your mind?
Well, I make a lot of colors. I have this whole kind of area in my studio that has, you know, like to-go containers for soup. I buy them by the bulk, empty plastic containers, and I just mix a ton of different shades of red or pinks and like collect them. And then I label them with funky names so I can remember. When guys are working, we can remember what orange was what, because there's a lot of paint colors in there. And I use it as a tool. Like if I don't know what to do, I kind of will solve a problem by adding another color, you know. I was looking at this very fancy collection in Dallas, and there wasn't a lot of color. And I think it's really tough to make a painting with like four colors, you know. I'm jealous, like why these have like 136 colors. I mean, you would think that would be a good thing, but sometimes, you know, I don't know. It's, you know, I think I solve problems. I can solve a problem by adding another color or bouncing another color off a color. I have thought about paring it down. Like, I think I'm going to make something like this in, like, you know, an all kind of neutral gray. But I know what's going to happen. It's not, you know, it'll turn purple and then orange. And, so I think, with the color thing, it's a way of solving a problem, I think, you know. Definitely, mostly always an additive process, the way I work. So starting, you know, this painting came about after making a series of drawings, and there's none in this room, so, yeah, if you guys want to, we could just walk around for a minute. Oh yeah, we'll end in here. So, what was I going to talk about? That other thing. Yeah.
Well, we can go over there.
What, the painting?
No, to the drawings over there, and then end in this room.
All right, yeah, let's go over here.
Sorry,
it just makes more sense to do it this way. Hey, how are you? Hey, what's up? How are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Here with me too.
Oh, cool. Hey, how are you? Mm-hmm. see you. I'm just going to do this thing. All right. So, made a series of these works on paper. I call them liner notes. To me, they operate a lot like, you know, liner notes from record, you know, like jazz albums or whatever, kind of a history of what's going on. So it's my own personal kind of liner note. And I think I set it up like sheet music almost, you know, thinking maybe it's like silent music in a way. So knowing that there'll be these horizontal lines, like a notebook almost, and then that's one rule I set up when I make these, and then keeping a kind of border, you know, almost like a television, you know, that's also, I think it's inspired a lot by some outsider artists that I look at. So, but I made probably 20 of these, and they were challenging for the fact that you can't, the challenging part, you know, other than just making paper look painted like this, which is kind of difficult because it requires a lot of coats of paint, very precise. But when you get, so I would paint all of this up and then do this part, and you can't mess up. So you can't, you know, drip or, you know, as you kind of move along, it becomes more precious or, you know, I guess scary, you know, about the mistake or whatever. And so I did, I guess, 20 of these, and then I always thought it'd be harder to do it on canvas and challenging or whatever, and then that one's the first one on canvas, and it's actually easier, you know. It moves a lot quicker. But, you know, after doing all these, they're still mysterious to me as what they're really about. Like, I really don't know why I draw this stuff. You know, it's just kind of recorded in the head, and you just kind of let it go. You know, I mean, if you think, huh?
Are you left-handed?
Yeah.
But you work from left to right.
Yeah, just like this. Like, I guess that's how you write, right?
Yeah, that's how you write. But I mean, you worry about
your smearing it. Yeah, I have a piece of typing paper underneath. You know, but they do. I got pretty good at not. I choose materials that dry quickly. Like, a lot of this here is ballpoint pen, but the ballpoint pen that I use, I don't know what kind it is, but it's really quickly drying. It dries quickly.
Have you had a chance to look at this stuff up close, or did you just wait? Because you have to look at these close. I mean, they're pretty incredible that you just, like, out of the frame, they're like that.
You know? It's weird. I mean, I think I have a catalog of stuff, images or little doodles that I've had for a long time. And I guess as you keep dealing with them, and, you know, like almost going to the shrink, you figure out, you know, what one's about and how to morph into the other ones. You know, if you think of bebop music and how there's a song structure and then, you know, an area to kind of play with that structure and improvise inside of it, maybe that's what's going on. So you get into the rhythm of it and you can't overthink. You just pop it out, you know.
Can I share something that I
yeah.
have a strong feeling about, not just these, but mostly these, something akin to being bored in geometry class?
Absolutely. The whole idea, there was a lot of that kind of like stoner drawings or, you know, I thought of like high school, you know, being in high school and the kid that just drew and not even pay attention to what was going on. There was a lot of that, you know. And also Mayan drawings, you know, I grew up in San Antonio with a lot of that imagery around, you know, the Mayan kind of, I'm not sure what the exact kind of name of them, you know, are, but they operate in rows or bands, even around their pottery. And I think just seeing that as a kid, you know, that kind of comes out in the eyes and the little heads and, you know.
Is that artist, sorry.
No, that's cool.
Ray Yoshida, that Chicago artist, mm-hmm. does these things with bands. But yours is different. And you kind of, since these are like, one's called inventory or behold. Or,
right.
Is it sort of like you create this series of characters and then it's almost like a sort of set up like a shooting gallery or like take that one out.
I don't know if any of these guys appear in the paintings. I do, you know, I want it to seem almost like a calendar in a weird way, like a way of kind of recording time or, you know, when you look at those calendars that you hang on the wall, like this could be February or, you know, and then these are the days. I mean, it operates in that, the whole setup is that, I think of that, you know. Yeah, there's a Westerman head. He often, you know, H.C. Westerman, an artist out of Chicago, often drew himself, a caricature of himself. I like him a lot. I mean, he's a great artist. And so I throw him in there. I throw me in the way I draw myself. There's a Jim Nod in here who's another Chicago artist. That's good that you noticed that. What else could we talk about?
When you draw it, do you see it in the back of your mind? Draw it, or you just see it as you do it?
You just kind of work off, you know, I think there's a starting thing that you're maybe a way or a form that you're familiar with, and you kind of just can play off that. And then if you have four of those or five of those that you can play off, it's a lot like freestyling in a way, you know, like when guys grab the mic and they just, in the hip-hop world, they can just go for it, you know, and I practice that way. And we could talk about this, what?
Do you edit them?
No erase, no erasing. I don't want it to look, you know, like a sketch, you know, I want it to look like the line has to be there, you know, I guess that's important, you know. Like, if you look at graffiti, you know, like, it just has to be there. Like, there's a confidence in it. I mean, if you look at Picasso, there's a confidence in that line. You know, if you look at Bacon, not so much. It's about not really being sure in a weird way to rub it out, you know. But I saw a great Picasso yesterday at the Nasher, this still life right next to a sculpture of a still life that he made. And it's all just confidence, you know.
Make sure
you can feel it in your mind, I think. You know, you're familiar with the forms and you can kind of bend it a bit, you know. You know, you just don't even think. You know that they're going to have an eye, or little head's going to have an eye, or whatever. It's kind of goofy when you think about it, but, you know, these little bumpy ones can be like a way of breaking the space, or if you're kind of stuck, just add that. You know, you have the little pause, or like these guys here, they take like, you know, like I was timing lines how long it took, and it's about an hour, hour and a half. Sometimes on the bigger one, it'd be two and a half, depending how deep you and how detailed you wanted to go. So, you know, I don't, yeah, I mean, I don't know, it's weird. You want it, which other ones do you want to talk about? This one here, the image is kind of taken right from a Picasso, late period Picasso book, where he has this figure kind of doing